Where'd he go? There he is. Hi, Benjamin. Well, Happy New Year, everyone. I'm going to call the January 5th, 2021 meeting of the Mill Creek City Council to order, and we'll begin with the Pledge of Allegiance. Would Councilmember Steckler please lead us?
All right. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, John. Naomi, would you please call the roll?
Mayor Holtzclaw.
Present.
Mayor Pro Tem Vignell.
Here.
Councilmember Bond.
Here.
Councilmember Cavallari. There he is. Councilmember Steckler.
Here.
Councilmember Bryles.
Here.
Councilmember Morgan.
Here.
With that, we will give the public the first opportunity of the new year to speak to the council. Anyone would like to speak, raise your hand if you're on camera, or say something if you don't have a camera on or on the line, and so I can recognize you. Anyone like to speak to the council tonight? Going once, going twice, gone. There'll be another opportunity at the end of the meeting. We will roll right into the exit conference with the state auditor's office. I'll turn it over to Michael and Kirk.
Thank you, Mayor. Just quick introduction of the assistant audit manager, Kirk Gadboy, and Christina Baylor is part of the exit conference. So I turn it over to you, Kirk, and your team. Thank you.
Good, thank you very much. I have a document to share here. I don't know, Naomi, if I'm able to get screen sharing permissions or not.
Yes, I'm going to make you a co-host right now.
Oh, perfect, thank you so much. We'll go ahead and share this document in just a bit, but first, you know, I'll let Christina kind of introduce us to this evening and kind of explain what we're up to here.
Thank you, Kirk. Good evening, members of the City Council and management of City of Mill Creek. We are very pleased to be with you this evening to share the results of the city's most recent audit for fiscal year 2019. My name is Christina Baylor, and I serve as the audit manager for our local office. We're based right up the street from the city, so it's great to work in close proximity with your staff and return on a regular basis to work with you. I believe we did some quick introductions, but just to extend those, Kirk Gadboys is joining me this evening. He served as the audit supervisor for the city's audit. So Kirk really did all the legwork that went into supervising and reviewing the work that is going to be shared with you this evening. Mm-hmm. Before we get started, Kirk is showing on his screen a packet of information that we'll be utilizing for tonight's presentation. That packet, I believe, was already disseminated to everybody attending, and if not, it will be shared following our meeting. So please note that you'll have access to that very quickly.
Yeah, it'll be shared right after the meeting here. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And what we have planned for you this evening is we're going to walk you through the packet of information and so that you can see our results of our audit and ask any questions that you might have. Please note that these results are draft. We have not yet published the city's report, and pending no further questions, the next step in our process will be to move forward with publishing those reports. So on the screen here, you'll see that we are sharing the results of the most recent audit. I'd like to dig a little bit deeper into those audits so that you have a general understanding of the two types of audits, and then we'll go into the specific results of each. So before we head into the audit reports, for anybody that might be new to the audit process, the Office of the Washington State Auditor is appointed by the state legislature and actually written into the state constitution to be the auditor of all public funds. We take that role very seriously and conduct audits of all state and local governments on a regular cycle, of which for the city, we do conduct an annual audit. You'll see under the heading of audit reports that we conducted two audits for the city of Mill Creek. And those are an accountability audit and a financial statement audit. So each of those audits will have a separate audit report, and they actually have very different objectives, if you will. So the accountability audit, what an accountability audit is it takes a look at the city's compliance with state laws, regulations, contracts, agreements, your own policies and procedures. And in general, it assesses whether there's any risk of public funds going missing, being misappropriated, and just general safeguarding controls. Versus the financial statement audit, the city does prepare financial statements every year, which is a requirement of state law. So we take a look at those financial statements to make sure that they're stated fairly and materially correct. And at the end of that audit, we issue what's called an audit opinion. So the financial statement opinion is very important to any reader of that report, such as a bond rating agency or other stakeholder, because that's really what lets them know that they can place reliance on your financial activities for the period and the information that's included in the report. So we will walk you through draft copies of both the reports so that you can see those results in further detail. And Kirk will be assisting with our presentation to walk you through. But before we go any further, I know Kirk and also one of our audit staff, Sarah Superville, spent a lot of time working with city staff during the course of the audits, and they had some great highlights that they wanted to share with you first. Kirk, would you?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and as Christina mentioned, Sarah Superville was the main audit lead for this audit. But that, as I mentioned at the entrance conference, she is now one of our state specialists in charge of our fraud program. So she wasn't able to join us tonight. But these were some of the highlights. You know, when I asked her, you know, kind of what were the highlights she had from the audit and working with staff, this is what she had documented here. And really just goes along with, she just really appreciated the city staff's availability and willingness to work with us and get us information as we needed it. You know, auditing, big thing here, auditing is so much an in-person activity, you know, looking at records, talking to people, seeing processes. So, you know, going through this process where we're working remotely now and asking for information to be sent to us or, you know, talking over phone or whatever, you know, it was just a different experience this year. And we really appreciated city staff's efforts to make this process work. And really, it worked very well. So I really appreciate your city staff with this. One other quick thing, too. We just wanted to recognize the city's efforts in addressing prior audit recommendations. Sarah and I were on the audit last year at this time, and we made some recommendations to city staff for some ways to make some improvements. And we really appreciate staff taking those recommendations seriously and addressing a lot of them. So thank you for that. We did have a couple exit items we'll provide to Michael and Laurel at the end of the audit here. But for the most part, these are just really minor housekeeping type items and nothing significant at all. Last year, there was a management letter over payroll, but that issue has now been partially resolved. There's just like a small little pieces left over that are just minor material things. A couple other things before I go into those audit reports, just so we're not jumping around too much. When we did our financial audit, we did identify a few misstatements, but nothing significant by any means whatsoever. These are just immaterial, minor items. The city corrected like 90% of them. There are a couple things that are still left over, kind of like FYI best practice things going forward to next year. So we just list these here. These are uncorrected on the 19 statements, but city staff as well as going forward in 20, you know, these will be corrected. And when we did our audit of the financial statements, we didn't identify any kind of material misstatements or anything like that that we needed to report to you. So that was good. We'll be going over these reports in just a few minutes here, but these reports, as Christina mentioned, they're in draft form right now. They're not final. They haven't been released. Probably we're releasing them next week sometime. So, but we'll show you what they're going to look like, and we'll give you a draft copy here later on tonight. Management representation letter, we got a copy of that as well here today. So that's all been signed and included in our audit file, just general representations about allowing us access to the city's records. And also we're pleased to say that, you know, at the beginning of the audit, we did provide an audit estimate of for the cost of the audit. And even though we were in this remote work environment where things can take longer with scanning and, you know, sending documents back and forth and setting up meetings and whatnot, you know, just the city staff working with us really efficiently was able to help us keep that audit budget within what our original estimated cost was. So no overages in cost, which is really good. Next year, we are scheduling a coming back in the summer of 2021. We'll probably be coming back a little bit earlier next year. The reason why is because the city is fairly confident, and we're pretty sure too, the city will actually need a third type of audit next year, and that's a federal program single audit. And that's triggered when the city spends more than $750,000 in federal funds. Then at that point, we need to come in and audit those expenditures of federal funds. So city's pretty sure that with the CARES Act funding that's received early in 2020, likely spent more than $750,000 in federal funds. Therefore, we'll be coming in and completing that work. That does have a deadline of the end of September of 2021. So we'll want to make sure that we get our audit work done and all the reports released before the end of September next year. We provide the audit estimate there for you as well, just as an idea of what to budget for next year. And then also one other quick things here for like system concluding comments before we get into the reports. You know, we do have, when we do conclude our reports and publish them online, city staff will get a survey from our audit or from our office. And we encourage you to fill it out and just kind of let us know what we did that you really appreciated or things that, you know, we can improve upon. We're always looking at ways to improve our audit services to city government. So please let us know if you have any feedback about our services. And then at the entrance conference, I did talk about the local government support team and Center for Government Innovation, but just to kind of quickly go over what they do, local government support team, they're completely designed to help out local governments with accounting questions or technical assistance, anything where, you know, if you get a new funding source and you're not sure how to code it in the financial system or not sure how to account for something in the expenditures, just let our local government support team know. They can help you out with those questions. They don't charge any additional costs or anything. So please use that resource. It's a good way to proactively get your questions answered before we come on site as field auditors. And then the Center for Government Innovation, they're around to provide best practices and also efficiency ideas for local governments. So again, no additional cost for local governments at all. So definitely a good resource to use as well. And then here we have the contact information for everyone who worked on the audit, if you have any questions or anything like that. So again, this packet will be sent out to you right after the meeting, just so you have all this information in case you have any of those questions. But I'd like to go right into our reports here. This first report is our accountability audit report, again, in draft form. We have a letter from our state auditor, Pat McCarthy, on the first page. And then really the main parts of this audit report is this page right here. It's our audit results. And the good news is of all the audit work that we performed in the accountability areas, we didn't identify any non-compliance with state laws, regulations, you know, policies or procedures that were significant that needed to be reported. Anything that we noted was very immaterial, best practice type items. So really, I mean, that's auditor speak for, you know, really good job. We really appreciate the work the city's done over the past few years to improve operations. The areas we looked at are bulleted at the bottom of this page. Payroll was really the big area we looked at. We really wanted to know what the city's internal controls and processes were for setting up employees at hire, all the way to, you know, how tracking overtime, how you're calculating your benefits, how you calculating these separation agreements or anything like that, and really just the whole process of payroll. So we took a look at those controls and procedures, have a couple little best practice tips, but for the most part, nothing significant. The accounts payable area we looked at was just general disbursements review, so just how does the city spend money, with a focus on electronic funds transfers, just because we've seen a big increase in fraud statewide, where external criminals, cyber criminals, will spoof accounts used by either city employees or vendors and ask for bank account changes, like, you know, hey, I just changed my bank from Bank of America to Chase Bank. Can you change my direct deposit for my payroll to this new account number, you know, sending that email off to the payroll department. You know, we want to make sure that that doesn't happen, you know, and that, you know, the city has adequate safeguards to prevent those kinds of losses from happening. So again, we didn't notice anything significant there, which is really good. We also looked at financial condition, mainly focused on, you know, how the city's financial health, considering the COVID pandemic here, what that was going to look like, and we didn't have any significant concerns. And contract monitoring, we looked at that as well, just to see how the city reviews contracts it enters into and keeps track of them. So I'm going to pause for just a second here. I just went through a lot of information. Does anyone have any questions about the accountability areas that we looked at this year or anything? No? Okay. All right. Well, I'll keep on going then. If you have any questions, feel free to let me know or at the end too. So the rest of this accountability report just lists or links to the financial audit report. Lets readers know that there's a financial audit report out there as well. It has information about the city. So that way, if citizens reading this and or someone outside the city is reading this and doesn't know what is the city of Mill Creek, who do you guys, you know, how big are you? What do you do? This just provides information for that reader to know, you know, what is city of Mill Creek. Same thing about our office. We just have a description about our office as well as contact information if anybody has any questions. So that's our accountability audit report. The financial statement audit report, again, covers 2019. And this report is really two reports in one. The first report is a report on internal controls. So not only do we look at, you know, are the financial statements accurate and can the numbers be relied upon, but we also give a report on the city's internal controls behind preparing the financial statements. And so, you know, while we don't give an opinion on those controls, we are required by auditing standards to report any, you know, significant deficiencies or material weaknesses in controls. So this report, the good news here is that we didn't identify anything significant or material that we determined needed to be reported. So no news is good news. That means good work, you know, again, an auditor speak there. Also, we didn't identify any instances of non-compliance or other matters to be reported under the government auditing standards. So no non-compliance with laws or any grant agreements or anything like that that had to be reported. So that was the internal control portion of the report. The compliance portion and the like actual where we give our opinion is the second portion of the financial statement audit report. And this report is a little bit tricky in that auditing standards require us to give an opinion on GAAP financial statements. And in the state of Washington, governments across the state can choose to report their financial statements using GAAP, like generally accepted accounting practices, or you can also, or you could prepare your statements using the cash basis accounting as prescribed by the BARS manual. Both are completely allowable. There's no, you know, there's no big difference, like there's differences between the two, but there's no like sway from our office about which one to report or anything like that. In fact, most governments in the state of Washington will report on the cash basis manual just because it is a little less complex. But we are still required to report an opinion on those GAAP financial statements. So what you're going to see on this report is on the BARS, on the regulatory basis accounting, the BAR, using the BARS manual, you get that clean, unmodified opinion. So that's the good opinion that, you know, the readers want to see. On the basis for GAAP, US GAAP, which is the statements you didn't prepare because you weren't required to, we give you an adverse opinion because obviously there's no statements to prepare and review. So good on the statements you did prepare, clean, unmodified, good opinion. Statements you didn't prepare, it's adverse opinion. Also in this report, we do have a matters of emphasis as well. Just two things that we wanted readers to know if they were reviewing this audit report. One is the city did adopt a new accounting guidance for presentation and disclosure of post-employment benefits. So this is a change from 2018. So some really savvy readers might look at the two statements and wonder why there's additional liabilities on the 2019 statements that weren't on the 2018 statements. Your notes in the financial statements, note 11, tell the reader why that is. Also, Note 14 to the financial statements also discusses the COVID-19 worldwide pandemic. Could have a negative financial effect on the city, but we're not modifying our opinions to either of these issues. We just wanted to bring them to the reader's attention. So that's basically the financial statement audit report. We do list the statements the city prepared and what we reviewed on this section as well. And then just, of course, information about our office. So that's the financial statement audit report. The last document that we'll provide to you as well is just the representation letter that was signed by city management. Again, we just got this earlier today. So this is the draft version. We got the signed version here just a little bit ago, but you can read through this. And these are just standard representations provided by the city. So, all right. And so with that, I think that's basically all the information we had to give to you tonight. Does anyone have any questions about our audits or any of the information that I just went over?
Kirk, I have two. One, I know we do this every year. Mm-hmm. Can you just explain for the benefit of the new council members and the public why it is in the financial statement audit when we don't have to prepare our financials to GAAP, you nonetheless have to audit them and say we don't comply with GAAP?
Yeah, and it's just an auditing standard out there. I've been at the office now for 12 years, and I know for years former auditors tried to make that argument, saying we didn't always give that opinion on GAAP, because why would we give an opinion on statements they didn't prepare? But we get audited just like you get audited, and one of those things this peer reviewers brought up said, well, you have to give an opinion on U.S. GAAP, like you must do it. You have to give an opinion, and so finally we just. Said, okay, if we have to give an opinion, we will give that opinion on US GAAP. But again, you don't have to prepare those statements. On the statements you did prepare, you get that clean, unmodified opinion. Again, like most governments in the state, most cities, a lot of counties, all fire districts, everyone prepares the statements based on the cash basis. So not unusual.
Yeah, no, thanks for laying that out for us again. The other mm-hmm. question, what was the budget for the audit this year? For some reason, 35 or 39 was sticking in my head.
34 was the number. Yep.
So I'm glad we're within the budget, but I noticed that the budget for audit next year is 49.
Yep. And what that does, the reason why is because it adds that federal audit as well. Okay. So it does add that review of federal programs. And we don't know quite yet, because the city hasn't received this federal program audit in the past. This isn't something that you all get every single year. So we wanted to guess. We didn't know how many programs we'd have to audit. Was it one program or two programs? And we also don't know yet quite how complex they're going to be. So there is a possibility that the rates will be decreased. If it ends up being one program and it's a fairly simple program to audit, then we'll definitely reduce the costs for that of course. But if the program ends, if we end up needing to audit two or three or four programs and they end up being incredibly complex, that cost could go up.
Okay, so that portion of the audit isn't triggered by the CARES Act, but I assume that part of that audit would include any, for instance, CARES Act funding and how is administered that we received this year?
Correct. Yeah, in accordance with federal guidance. Correct. Because anytime you've spent federal funds, they're going to, of course, have their, 20 different, requirements of you must do this, you must do that. And, this is how the federal government makes sure those things happen.
Okay. Thank you for that. Naomi, could you unshare the screen so we can see everyone if we're done seeing stuff?
I can unshare. There we go.
Does anyone else, any other council member have any questions for Kirk or his team? Mm-hmm. Looking, I'm seeing the heads nod. Yeah. Not seeing any.
So, all right.
Kirk, Sarah, thank you. Mm-hmm. Glad we got a clean bill of health. It always feels like the city's colonoscopy every year. So good to see we're apparently healthy with benign polyps maybe, but nothing significant. So
yeah.
Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for allowing us to come and present tonight. And thank you for just, great working experience here at the city this year. Thank you.
But what are the steps from here? Just so I'm aware of what is it to finalize things? What's the next step?
Yeah, really not much from the city's perspective. From this point, we just get the reports ready for publish, which they already are. And we publish our reports on Mondays and Thursdays, I believe. So being that today's Tuesday, It might be published next Monday online, and it's just released and, you know, out there. Otherwise, it'd probably be next Thursday. So, but that's it.
Okay. Thank you. Yep. Appreciate it. Absolutely. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you too. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Kurt and Christina. Appreciate it.
Okay, with that, we will move into the new business. And item D is going over the committee and liaison assignments for the coming year. So, Michael, were you going to share the screen, or did you want us all to pull the document up individually?
We can do it both ways, if you prefer, Mayor.
Why don't you put it up on the screen just okay. So everyone can see it?
You got it.
In case members of the public might not have it in front of them.
Understood. Give us 1 second, please.
So while we're waiting, this is the committee assignment and various boards that we've gone over in January each year. There's a few things that fell off. So for instance, there was a couple items that were particular to former council member Todd's involvement with community transit that aren't recurring positions that the city is involved with. They were unique to Mike being appointed to the community transit board. So those have come off. So what we tried to do here is reflect what the 20, who is the representative in 2020, and then look at proposing going forward. So I think we'll just go through this quickly line by line, if that's okay. So the Arts and Beautification Board was John last year. John, do you want to continue with that?
Absolutely.
Hey, Vince, are you okay being an alternative still?
I'm definitely okay with being an alternate. I believe Councilmember Morgan expressed an interest in maybe getting on some committees, and I agreed to if the council is willing to allow him to be the alternate here.
I think Councilmember Bryles, being from the Arts and Beautification Committee before, may have some interest in that particular position.
And I don't think either council member would be a bad choice. He just asked if he can start getting on some committee. So I think we want to involve everybody. So if there's a lacking for any of the council members, I'd hope we can just kind of share the wealth, I guess, be the best way of saying it.
And I'd be happy to fulfill any holes there may be. I definitely want to be a part of anything and everything I can get my hands on.
All right. So.
Okay, so what's our decision on the alternate for that board? I didn't bring my straws.
Is that something you're interested in, Ben, or?
Yeah, I would like to say this one is one where I'm familiar, and I think I'd be able to fill a good backup role for John. I don't mind supporting you for any of the others that you'd be interested in. Going in for there.
Okay. Well, why don't we put down Councilmember Bryles for that. Park and Rec Board was Vince last year. I assume, Vince, you want to continue with that in 21? Thumbs up?
Yes, sir. Yes, please.
Stephanie, were you the alternate last year?
Yes, I was.
You want to continue in that role?
Yes, please, unless Vince thinks that Adam would be well suited for that, but I prefer to keep it.
No. Like I said before, when I was asking to put Adam in there, it's just to kind of get him involved. But no, you've done a great job, and I appreciate you.
Okay. I can never pronounce this. Is this the left board? Is that how it's pronounced?
Yes.
Correct.
So it was Mike and Mark last year. So Mark and, had we already appointed John?
Yeah.
Yes.
Was that for 20 when Mike stepped out of the council role? So was that appointment for the remainder of 20? Or does that cover 21?
I don't know. Sounds okay. Like it covers 21. Let's call it that.
And there's no alternate on that. That was just the two positions, correct?
Right.
Okay.
This is Mike. I think the way the bylaws for that group are set up is that one of them, they're in 2 years terms for for the council members and they're staggered. So I think John needs a new appointment to get another 2 years. And I think Mark is halfway through his, or I'm backwards. But every year you will be getting one new person or reinstating a person because of the way those bylaws are set up for that group.
Mike, to your recollection, did we have to formally vote on that, or can we do a head nods to make the, as we go through this list and have a consensus on? I don't remember voting on these in the past.
I think if you just vote on this whole list when you're done, that I think that would do it.
Okay.
Thanks.
I'd like to stay on the board if I could.
Okay.
Me too.
Fine by me. The study area, that's one, those appointments have already been made and that group will be wrapping up by mid-year, I believe. The Planning Commission isn't necessarily a appointed position. I think last year I volunteered to be the liaison from the council just to sit in on the Planning Commission meetings to hear what's being deliberated. So I'm willing to continue doing that unless that's something that Councilmember Morgan would be interested in doing.
I would be very interested in sitting in on the Planning Commission, absolutely.
Okay, so that's technically a liaison, so why don't we put Councilmember Morgan down for that. The Design Review Board, when I don't think for either that or the Civil Service Commission or the Youth Advisory Board, last year I don't think we decided we needed to have a liaison to any of those. The Planning Commission was the one that, just because they end up reporting back to us, we thought it'd be helpful to have someone from the council sitting in on those meetings when possible.
So hey, Brian?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead. Finish.
No, I was done.
I know we talked about as a council before of formalizing the process of having a liaison to the Planning Commission. Should we maybe start taking the steps for that?
To have a formal liaison?
Correct.
I think that's what we're doing by putting someone, identifying someone to serve in that role on this list.
Oh, okay. All right.
So I don't think we need to do anything for this, the other three.
If we wanted to, could we?
We certainly could. I'm only pausing because I'm looking at the Design Review Board and I can't see Grant. I don't think there's anything that the Design Review Board decides that's appealable to the council that would create an issue. So I don't think there's a problem. Am I correct in that assumption, Grant?
I don't know the answer to that, Mayor, right off the bat. We can double check. And I would say the same thing on Civil Service Commission. That may be set already, and that might require a change in their... this is for a liaison position?
This is just for a liaison, yeah. It's not changing the structure of the bylaws. Okay. I want to make sure there wasn't a problem with someone listening in if it was...
No, not at all. Go ahead. So I was going to say that this is sort of leading up to something we're going to talk about in governance too. So you'll get two bites of the apple of this one in terms of structure. But if you want to get going for this year, I think you certainly could appoint people to serve as liaisons for those positions. And they're non-voting positions. They're just simply conduits.
That's what I was thinking, Mayor, was since they're all non-voting, just having a liaison on these committees, these boards would be, I think, a benefit to them and have the council representative there and the council representative reporting back, just a good communication.
That is fine by me if we have volunteers who want to serve in that role for each one of these.
I actually would like to look at, I had brought up before a couple times last year, possibly starting to have a liaison to the Youth Advisory Board, but it's not something that we have done in the past.
Well, hey, Steph.
What we're talking about for all three of those, the design review, civil service, and youth.
So the Youth Advisory Board reports to the Parks Board. So, I mean, I deal with them monthly. So I kind of think that's wrapped up in there. Okay. So, I mean, I guess essentially you're already doing it or would be doing it.
Do they meet separately, though?
Yeah.
And John, to your question, no, these are all public meetings. So if any council members open to attend any of the virtual meetings any of these boards hold in the coming year. Any volunteers for the design review board?
I would be interested in volunteering for the design review board.
Any objections? Fine by me. Civil Service Commission? Sounds like something that's up Mark or Vince's alley.
Yeah.
Any interest?
No one wants it. I mean, I'll take a bite at it. I've gotten kind of busy with Snow 911, but I'll take a crack at it. I mean, are they quarterly meetings?
I don't think, do they meet regularly, or do they only meet when there's an issue that's presented, a civil service issue?
Yes, Mayor, there's been frequent cancellations for lack of business on that commission, but when they do meet, they tend to be important matters, and we would always welcome the council's participation as a liaison in attending those. Always welcome.
Okay. Vince, is that, are you throwing your hat in the ring?
Sure.
Okay.
I'll be an alternate.
Okay.
Thanks, Mark.
Naomi, I trust you're taking notes as we walk through this.
I am.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Youth Advisory Board.
I would like to be a liaison to the Youth Advisory Board.
Any objections? I'm fine with that too. Okay, page two, please.
Hey, can I just say one thing? Hey, Steph, maybe you and I can kind of figure out how we kind of loop that into the park since they deal directly. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. We can work on it.
Okay. Thanks.
So the AHA, I am fine if Stephanie wants to take over that. That was one that I had difficulty attending because of the time. It usually precedes the SCT meeting. So if Stephanie would like to do that, that would be great. I'm happy to be the alternate if we need to identify an alternate.
Yes, I would love to. Thank you.
This is one that I would definitely like to be an alternate on if you didn't want to, Brian, or...
That's you're welcome to take it over for me. Go for it.
All right.
Councilmember Morgan. Which brings us to the low man or person on the totem pole with Wyra 8. The benefit right now of COVID for Councilmember Morgan is it's on Zoom, so you don't have to fight the traffic to Bellevue.
That is true.
Do you know what the Wyra 8 is?
Something to do with waterways, yeah, salmon.
It's the water resource inventory. I forget what the A stands for. Grant might know, but it's part of Department of Ecology. The state's broken into water resource areas. And
I used to know that. I used to serve on it a long time ago.
Yeah, it's water resource inventory. Area. All right. Thank you.
Yeah, I'd be happy to be John's alternate for that one.
Or I'd be happy to step down and let Adam be the liaison, and I'll be the alternate.
That's what I was gonna.
I would be happy to do that. And then Adam, if you ever have a challenge, you can contact me, and I can step in for you.
All right, perfect. That'll work out great.
Yeah, I can do that.
The SCT is the one that I would like to remain involved with in the coming year. There'll be some important issues for us coming before that as the county's going through the allocation process and with the population projection once that comes out. So be some meaty stuff for us. Joint Fire Board, Vince and Mark.
I like serving on it. This is going to be some challenge for us. So.
In my humble opinion, you two are the best qualified to serve on that and represent us and bring it back to us. So I'm fine with that if the others are.
Hey, I had a question. Pam had also been on it before, and when she stepped down, we didn't put anybody else on there. And I would be interested in participating in that if we need three.
Is there a reason why we had three? Is that established by the bylaws of the board?
I'm not sure. No, I think she was just coming as like the mayor.
Okay.
This is the negotiations that we're heading into are going to be challenging, and it's not going to hurt to have an extra presence, and we're all going to need to understand it. I'm just saying I'd love to have you and anybody else that just wants to come to these meetings you can allow in your schedule when it gets into the meat of the negotiations later, it's not going to hurt. So,
well, I'm happy having three and having Mayor Pro Tem identified as a third if others are fine with that.
Mm-hmm. Perfect.
So, Mark, can you remind us, the Snohomish Health Board, where we're at? I think we don't step up to our official position until 22. Is that correct?
Stephanie was looking into that, and I think that's correct. But she looked into it. We were chatting about it. What'd you find on that, Stephanie?
Yeah, I looked into it, and Briar remains this year, so it's not till next year when we would be taking over for 2 years. I guess they're 2 year terms. For some reason, everyone was thinking it was 1 year terms, but it's 2 year terms. So Briar has 2 years, and then we will be up to the plate next year.
So have we historically, when we're not formally have a seat on the board, do we typically have someone attending those meetings?
No.
Should we?
I go sometimes when I can. I could be going more often, because right now, since we're not on the board officially, I just listen to them sometimes and not all the time, but I could make it a bigger priority.
I'm fine penciling in your name on that one if others are, if you want to attend when you can.
Okay.
Chamber of Commerce, I think, is just kind of we all have participated at some point or another during the course of the year as our schedules allow. It's easier with Zoom as long as we're able to do that for them.
Yeah.
I don't think we need to officially put anyone down there. Next page, please, Naomi. Mayor's lunch meetings, yeah, those are all Zoom now. There's actually two sets of mayors. Executive Summers has one, all county mayors, and then there's a second group that meets, it's, I think, a little more active, that's just the South County mayors. So I have been participating in those. So we probably should put, like we did in 2020, the mayor and the mayor pro tem as both of the council representatives. Snohomish County Cities. Mike, help me out here. Remind me, this was one that all the councils are invited to attend. We don't have a formal representative to SCC, correct?
That's correct. Yeah, I was on the board, but really anybody and everybody, well, senior staff and council members can come. That group has been laying fallow this year because typically with dinner meetings, so they haven't had anything, but I know they're doing some planning for next year. So it's a good one to stay involved with, particularly for new council members, like Councilmember Morgan or Bryles, who want to network with other council members. When it's operating, that's a great way to find out what other cities are doing and kind of get engaged in what's happening regionally. So I highly recommend it when people could do it, but right now there's not much going on.
Yeah, and they're fun when we do them because they rotate them between the cities. So it's been a number of years since when we hosted it. I think we did it up at the Country Club, but that was 4 or 5 years ago. It's been a while since it's come to us. So,
I'd be very interested in doing that if there wasn't an official liaison position there. But
yeah, there's no official one. So we get the announcements for the meetings, and the city clerk usually sends out the invite and asks who wants to attend so he or she can register them for the dinner. So they haven't been doing those virtually. So I think those are on hiatus till we can meet in person again. Okay, and last but not least, Snohomish County 911, that's Vince and Mark.
Yeah, I'd like to keep doing it. I've been even appointed and voted and approved into a committee within the committee. So there's actually a lot going on, and probably after one of our February meetings, after we take a little more action on a matter that's pending with the city, I'll probably have an update for everybody regarding radios and cost and whatnot. It's a lot more active than I thought it was, and it's pretty enjoyable, actually.
So are you the official representative, and should Mark be identified as the alternate? Yes.
So I'm, go ahead. Yeah, I think we're doing it that way. Okay. So
the meeting, I hadn't attended any meetings, and I have a pretty big conflict there. So I probably am not the best choice for an alternate either, even though I'm interested, of course, but
we can put down two.
I won't be able to make those meetings work ever. So,
oh, okay. Any other volunteers to be an alternate?
I could be the alternate. I think Vince sounds like he's pretty much on top of it, but I can make it 8:30
okay.
meeting if he can't make it for some reason.
Okay. So do we need to review the list, Naomi, or does that before we bless it?
I can read it out loud. And you could all nod, and if it's incorrect, please let me know.
Okay. Yeah, let's just walk through them really quick, and then when we're done, we'll entertain a motion just to approve the list as we've revised it for 2021.
Okay. So for the Art and Beautification Advisory Board, we have John Steckler as the council representative, and the alternate will be Council Member Bryles. The Park and Recreation Board will be Council Member Cavallari with the alternate Mayor Pro Tem Vanell. The left board is Council Member Bond and Council Member Steckler, and we don't need a liaison for that. For the Mill Creek Subarea Study, we have Council Member Bryles, Mayor Holtzclaw, and Mayor Pro Tem Vanell. For the Planning Commission, we have the liaison as Council Member Morgan. For the Design Review Board, the liaison will be Council Member Steckler. For the Civil Service Commission, the liaison will be Council Member Cavallari and Council Member Bond. And then the Youth Advisory Board will be Mayor Pro Tem Vanell. For the next, the Alliance for Housing Affordability, we have Mayor Pro Tem Vanell. And as the alternate, Council Member Morgan. For the WIRA 8 Forum, Council Member Morgan is the representative with the alternative to be Council Member Steckler. For the Snohomish County Tomorrow Steering Committee, Mayor Holtzclaw and Mayor Pro Tem Vanell is the alternate. For the Joint Fire Board, Council Member Cavallari, Council Member Bond, with the alternate being Mayor Pro Tem Vanell. For the Snohomish Health Board, we'll still be with the City of Briar, but we will have a liaison of Mayor Pro Tem Vanell if she's able to attend those meetings during those times. And then the Chamber of Commerce, that's on a rotating basis. So the mayor lunch meetings are both going to be Mayor Holtzclaw and Mayor Pro Tem Vanell, and both the representative and alternates. For the Snohomish County Cities, Mayor Holtzclaw, and as an alternative, Council Member Bryles. And then the Snow 911, Council Member Cavallari, with the alternate being Mayor Pro Tem Vanell.
I think you nailed it.
Okay. I'll update this and circulate it after.
Okay.
Just for record, my position on the left is for 2 years. If we approve this, is that correct?
Yes, there are 2 year terms.
Right. Just want to confirm that.
Okay. We need to make this list that we're approving won't reflect that, but we should reflect that in the minutes if we bless this. That
right.
Approving that that's a 2 year term for 21 and 22. Mm-hmm. Okay. Should we memorialize this with a motion to approve the list as it's been read to us?
So moved.
Second.
Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Did anyone abstain? List of committee assignments is approved for 2021. With that, we'll move to item E, addendum to the Gray and Osborne contract. Mike and or Michael.
Thank you, Mayor. Director Mike Todd's gonna talk about our addendum to the on-call engineering service. Mike?
Yeah, thank you. Can everyone hear me okay?
Yes.
Yes.
Good, so no presentation tonight. until we get to the very end. But basically, this is coming to you to amend an existing on-call engineering services contract that was just started last year. We need to move the limit from $75,000 to $150,000, and that's what's before you tonight. A little bit of history on that, the background. This just got started late last July. Staff came to council at that time and said, we need some help with on-call engineering services for various projects, but primarily I think it was driven by the Seattle Hill Road project that was in progress. You may remember that under COVID and financial conditions, the staff had taken on more of the management of that project themselves and had elected not to do the typical 10 or 15% that it costs us for doing a construction management contract. So the idea was to save $250,000. Staff worked on that for a while, but when director left in middle of June, I think that Matt Feely, a supervising engineer, was probably at the time feeling like, oops, we need some help. And so we contracted with Gray and Osborne for that $75,000 for miscellaneous on-call engineering services. That was a good way to go. About a month later, Matthew left, and two weeks after that, Irving left. And so that left us with no engineering to complete that contract. So what happened was Gray and Osborne went from a minor amount of management support to taking on the full construction management for that project. And that has essentially burned up a lot of this money. To date, it's about $42,000 of the $75,000 has been spent on managing that Seattle Hill Road project. Again, much cheaper than it would have been had we gone out in the first place, but that is what ate up a lot of this. We also use that money for various things like the stormwater thing we did with getting our stormwater management plan in place. We had a bridge load analysis that was overdue from a 2019 project on 35th Avenue. We had some finish up to do on the Heron Park upgrade, and we had a pavement management marking program going on. Gray and Osborne helped us with all of those. We have not spent the entire $75,000, but we've issued task orders that add up to $75,000. So that took up the capacity in that contract. And so what we're asking tonight is to extend that, to amend that to go from $75,000 to $150,000. And that's based on our projection. We'll probably need about another $25,000 to finish Seattle Hill Road. And we'd like to have $50,000 again as that catch-all backup help for on-call engineering services, which I would use for scoping out new engineering projects we got on the capital improvements plan or those kinds of things. So that's what this is about. While we're at it, we opened up the contract. There's a couple of things we wanted to improve on. As with the Pertique contract we talked about a month ago, we added in a provision so that the contractor will report on every invoice how much they've spent against the entire contract amount. So we've added that into this contract. We've also cleaned up some language issues. They call them task orders instead of work orders with some mismatch. We fixed that. So that is basically what's going on there. And I think I will turn it over to questions.
Mike, just to be clear, unlike the one or two situations we had last year, in those situations, we had gone over without amending the contract. And so we had to retroactively go back and adjust it. And you're bringing this to us proactively where you're realizing you're going to bump up against the limit. So before you go over, you're proposing we extend it or extend
it. Exactly right. We've not gone over yet, but we are right up against that limit. We've committed all 75. And I know that we're working right now on Seattle Hill Road. As soon as the contractor's available to get out there and put the push buttons in, we're gonna get a bill in January. So we're trying to get this in place before they start charging against it. And to their credit, they are saying, we don't wanna even do any work until we know you've got a contract, because they don't wanna get in that place. So I appreciate that Gray and Osborne is on top of that in the first place. So this is proactive as opposed to reactive. We're trying to do it the right way this time.
And if I remember right, this is not a per year contract. This is 150 for the lifetime of the contract.
Exactly. That was one of the changes that you probably saw in the agenda summary there. Somehow the contract that we all signed off on last year said per year, and that isn't the way these things work. So this is the total amount ever is 150. It will expire at the end of 2021, unless you as council choose to extend it, but I would prefer that we do these things in discrete 1 or 2 year pieces and then revisit it. So council has an opportunity to weigh how we're using these consultants versus internal staff, et cetera.
Any questions from the council?
I'm going to put up the, there's the proposed motion, I believe. Can you see that?
Again, if there's no questions from the council, this is where we can entertain a motion.
So thanks for doing that, Director Todd, putting that up there rather than me trying to muddle through it. I'll make that motion to adopt a resolution authorizing the city manager to execute addendum number 1 to professional service contract 2020-1583 for on-call engineering services with Gray and Osborne to increase the maximum amount of the contract to not exceed $150,000 and amend certain provisions relating to tracking amounts expended under the agreement and provisions relating to the issuance of task orders.
Second.
Second. Ah, you beat me.
Councilmember Bryles got that one. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Did anyone abstain? The motion carries 7-0. We're going to move on now to the governance manual update. You recall at one of our December meetings, we asked the staff to come back with a proposed work plan for in the next few months, tackling an update to the governance manual. So city manager and city attorney have been working on that, and I'll turn it over to them for them to present their proposed work plan for us.
Thank you, Mayor. I'll get us started. This is basically our proposal for how we address the work, and just want to make sure that this reflects City Council's intentions. We're basically dividing it into 4 different sections, which will enable us to address 9 articles, many of which address multiple topics, as well as other resource materials. So to the extent there's a lot of overlap, we think there's an opportunity for us to consolidate and organize them differently. If the subject matter sequence that we've proposed is acceptable, then the remaining item related to council's most recent discussion about possibly selecting certain members of council to work with staff to co-formulate options for revisions to their current rules and procedures. And this could be done in advance of each council session. If you'd like us to do it in a different way, dealing with the entire legislative body, we can refashion this, but this is our best capture of what we believe would make the most sense and what council had recently directed us to do. Grant, do you have anything further?
I think the city manager's pretty much laid it out. What we tried to do was break the tasks into 3 study sessions where we would address focus on a series of articles that are already in the current governance manual. We'd have an opportunity to present some options to the council to consider for changes in the body of each of these work sessions, and then get feedback from the council. And then ultimately the last meeting, the last study session would be a review of a draft new governance manual. And we can then have the council take a look at it, see if it is comfortable with it or if it wants to tweak various provisions of it at that time. So we're looking for direction, seeing if the council agrees with this direction in terms of an approach. Our thought would be we'd have each of the study sessions would be, you know, 1 study session a month, and we would accomplish this in about 3 to 4 months of work. So the only other question, as the city manager mentioned, is whether the council wants to have have several members participate in this process at the staff level, where we would have a meeting before each of the meetings to kind of go through options and ferret those out. And then we'd have presentations at each of the study sessions for the full council. That might be a way of doing it and involving the council in the groundwork, as well as having the full discussions of the complete council on all of these particular items.
I for one like the way you've broken it up, and I think the timeline you suggested is realistic. I don't think we're going to get this done quickly, but I want to do it deliberatively and with a reasonable timeline. I think what you proposed gets us there. I'm willing to help out if you need help. Someone representing from the council, I'm glad to help out with that. I don't know.
As am I.
I am too.
John? Yeah,
a couple questions. I would also like to volunteer to help out prior to the meeting to help expedite. I can't open the link here. I'm so sorry. The council planning schedule link that's on the agenda on my iPad. Maybe just somehow when it came over, I can't open it. So is there a hard copy or something you could put up on the screen that we could take a look at? Because I don't know what the schedule is.
It doesn't have that on the planning schedule yet.
So what's on this document here? Anything?
No, that's what Grant just touched on. So in the document, you mean the materials for the governance manual item on the agenda?
Right, there's an item J for the highlighted items, council planning schedule 1-5.
Yeah, there's no timeline set out in there. It's just breaking it out by topic. And Grant's suggestion was that I think there's three different study groups or study sessions. So his proposal was that we do one a month over the next 3 months, and that leads to a final meeting where they present to us a revised governance manual. So we're probably looking at 3.5 to 4 months. So okay. April, beginning of May.
So I've seen it now on the screen here. So it's broken into these three sections where we take a chunk of the items that are in the governance manual. Now, question on that I had, just to make sure I'm clear, would the council propose questions on these, or would the committee propose questions on these particular, like session one, on these items, or who starts the process? What's the thought process here?
I think what Grant was suggesting was that if we have a few representatives from the council, we would meet with Grant and Michael prior to the study session to just talk about some of this. And then we have a study session and they get the input and take it back. And that will ultimately get incorporated into proposed revisions to the governance manual. I think there probably is going to be a few issues where there may be alternatives that are brought to us for discussion at the study session of how we could handle items or options.
That's correct, Mayor. The idea would be working with the smaller group to develop some options that we would then present at each council meeting where we have this set of topics. For let me give you an example. In section one, where we talk about a number of items, for instance, the process for selecting the mayor and the mayor pro tem, and the process for selecting vacancies, something that this council's done in the last year twice. It would be a review of the current process that we have, and then looking at what other cities do to see if there are options that the council would like to consider as alternatives.
I think the big issue on that is going to be whether we incorporate some kind of code of ethics. So right now our code just reflects the statutory conflict of interest requirements applied to us. Some cities take it a step further and have a code of ethics that they incorporate. So it's not just the statutory requirements that we're all bound by, but it's they establish for themselves ethical standards that they hold themselves to. And so there's a few different options that Grant, I think, will bring to us at that study session of how some cities have dealt with that or dealt with, so we can consider if that's something we want to incorporate in the governance manual, and if so, which approach or what type of approach do we want to do. So I think if I've heard four volunteers, I think we would just have to coordinate between the four of us to make sure that if we participate in a meeting in advance of the study session, that only three of us participate, so that we don't have to notice it. So I think we can just coordinate if everyone's okay with Mayor Pro Tem, myself, Councilmember Steckler, and I think Councilmember Morgan was the fourth. And then we can just coordinate amongst ourselves prior to that to have three of us participate in that meeting, so we don't have to notice it as a public meeting.
And again, Mayor, we've broken this down into three sections. So there may be topics where certain council members have specific interests in the issues that are identified in one of those three sections or two of those three sections. And that may be a way of helping select or self-select.
Yeah. Questions, comments? John, you have a perplexed look on your face. Do you have a question?
Well, I'm always, digesting.
Okay.
So the important thing here is that I would think is that we want all of the council members' input on the governance manual. That's this smaller committee is not going to set the pace. It's going to just start the process. And then when we come back to the study session, those council members that were not present will have the full opportunity to question. You know, we're not going to come with a set guidance. We're going to come with some list of recommendations or a list of outcomes so that every other council member has the right to provide the input. I think that's
absolutely correct, council member.
Yeah, I'm thinking in my head.
Yeah, and if you remember too, back when we started talking about this last year, I know then council member Todd had mentioned that we may want to do these groups to help do some of the legwork so staff wasn't to help with staff on this. And that's kind of was my understanding on why we started talking about having the group too. So to help do some of that legwork of research and then therefore bring it back to everybody. So.
Anyone have any further questions, comments, concerns? Thank you, Michael and Grant, for putting together this proposal. I think this is good and will get us going and have a plan for getting this tackled and not just talking about it, but actually getting it done in the coming months. So thank you for that. If there's no objection, I'd like to add a matter of old business, which is pulling from the consent agenda, the emergency proclamation extension, since we don't know what we'd be approving. So I don't think it's properly on the consent agenda. So if there's no objection, I'd like to move that into old business and give the city manager the opportunity to present what he's asking us to approve tonight. Any objection to modifying the agenda like that? Okay, hearing no objections, matter of old business. Michael, the emergency proclamation extension.
Thank you, Mayor. And there was a lot of internal debate about where it belonged. I know there was a recommendation at one point for consent agenda, but assuming this virus continues in earnest, we'll place it on old business in the future. What we're simply asking for is the emergency proclamation the council authorized through today's council meeting, this evening's council meeting, be extended through February 3rd, which would be the first council meeting scheduled in February.
Actually, February 2nd.
I beg your pardon, February 2nd. Can you read my own handwriting?
So if I could just say a quick word, Mayor.
Absolutely.
I appreciate this from the city manager, and I also appreciate us as a council body that we are making it our business to bring this back every 30 days, pretty much at the minimum, to have this conversation so the public can have input, so they are continually informed that we're constantly evolving and reevaluating what we're doing here. It's not just a blanket mailing it in. We're reviewing, we're talking about it, and we're taking action on a monthly basis and not just some broad action. So I support this.
Go ahead, John.
I agree with Vince and just kind of talking about this for a minute. I support this too, but I just kind of the question, what we're talking about is it more than just closing of City Hall, or is it the continual closing of City Hall? Is that really what we're talking about?
It's the continued closing of City Hall, and Grant, I'm going to need your help out here. Don't have it in front of me, Councilman Steckler, and I apologize.
It's also, if I could.
Yeah, please.
Mr. Kirby, It also is the reflected in the extension of the governor's proclamation 2028, which extends the limitations on the Open Public Meetings Act and the Public Records Act. And the Public Meetings Act part is the part that permits the use of the Zoom and having the city council meetings on alternative means other than being present in City Hall because City Hall is unavailable.
Great. So if we were to open up City Hall, if we were not to agree to this, let's say we said, no, we don't want to agree to extending it to February, then we in essence would be putting ourselves in a position where we'd have to go back to in-person meetings at City Hall, correct?
Under the emergency proclamation that originally was issued by the city manager and affirmed by this council repeatedly, yes, we're closing it to be in conformance with the orders, the proclamations of the governor regarding the limitations on assemblies in light of the COVID situation.
Right, which, Grant, yeah.
Grant and Michael, didn't our original emergency proclamation also give some blanket authority to the city manager consistent with the codes to provide assistance as needed to businesses?
Yes.
Yes, I believe it did, Mayor.
Yeah, so it wasn't, it was a little more broad than that. It was to the extent that the codes allow the city to have some discretion on some assistance we can make under the codes. We, under that emergency proclamation, granted that authority to Michael. I believe it was subject to him reporting back to us on a regular basis with what actions he has taken under that authority.
Correct, subject to your affirmance.
Right.
So there's a lot more into this than just the closing of City Hall. Point taken. Based on that, I think we should extend to February 2nd, and continue in the current practices that we're experiencing. At this point, I don't think it's a smart move for us to do anything else. Not at this date. In the current situation. So I would recommend, I agree with the mayor, the city manager's request, and support that.
How about supporting it with a motion?
With a motion. That's my funky way of making a motion. I make a motion to support the city manager's request.
Second.
So the motion on the table is to extend the emergency proclamation to February 2nd, 2021. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Did anyone abstain? The emergency proclamation is extended till February 2nd. Now we'll move to the consent agenda. On the consent agenda tonight are the City Council regular meeting minutes of November 24th, 2020, December 1st, 2020, and December 8th, 2020. Is there a motion to approve the consent agenda?
So moved.
Seconded.
All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Did anyone abstain? The consent agenda is approved. With that, we'll move into reports. I don't really have anything because for the last several weeks, all the mayor meetings and everything like that were largely canceled due to the holidays. So I do not have anything to report. City Mayor Pro Tem, do you have anything tonight?
Yes, I just wanted to just give a slight update. I wanted to report that just for the future that we received some information that I had forwarded to city manager. Hopefully we can find somebody to come talk to us in the future and get on the agenda regarding the fact that Snohomish County is looking at starting the beginning phases of doing some research for doing a farms, kind of like a farmer's market, open air farmer's market at McCollum Park is where their favorite preferred area for this is. And it's just, I think in my understanding, the beginning phases, and it'll affect us because it's right there, and it'll also affect our any future farmer's markets that we decided to do. So I forwarded that information to city manager, and hopefully we'll hear more about that in the future. Also, I just wanted to touch base that, because I had spoke to Representative Berg, that perhaps her and Representative Lovick could get on the agenda at the end of February, I think it was, for a legislative update after they get started. So we may wanna touch base with that. And I wanted to remind everyone that the Mill Creek Chamber meeting is coming up on January 19th at noon. So you can register for that. They're all on Zoom right now if anybody wants to go. So it's really easy to get there. And that's it.
Thank you, Mayor Pro Tem. Councilmember Bond, any report tonight?
No report.
Councilmember Steckler.
Two quick things. One, based on this audit, I wanted to take a minute to congratulate the city and the staff, city manager, especially and your staff. Great job. A good audit is something we're always glad to get, but it is not easy to get. They scour everything. So congratulations. I have been at the city when we've gotten a bad audit. So I'm very proud to be at the city and very proud of the staff for the job they did. Thank you all for the great job and that great audit report. That was wonderful news. I do have one quick question for our finance director. Just out of curiosity, when can we expect final numbers on 2020 close on the budget lines? I'm just curious again, the final close numbers.
We will have the budget open till roughly January 20th, so it should be sometime after that.
So, yeah, okay, great. Not before probably the end of the month at the absolute earliest.
Right.
Good. That's what I wanted to know. Thank you.
Councilmember Cavallari, any report tonight?
Thanks, Mayor. No report. Couple of quick comments. I too want to pass along my congratulations to our accounting department. The clean bill of health is welcomed. I think anytime we have to read about ourselves in the paper about minutiae related to unprofessional practices, it's kind of a stain on all of us and really somewhat disrespectful to the taxpayers. So kudos to all you guys and ladies that put the work in and gave us those great reports. Secondly, real quick, I really enjoy seeing all the department heads here. It's a welcome and refreshing change back to what we used to do. And I wanted you all to know that you're appreciated and thank you.
Councilmember Bryles, any report tonight?
No report, just a couple comments. Echoing what Councilmember Steckler and Councilmember Cavallari had both said, excellent work, keep it up. I don't know what more to add than what they said, which was really great. And then the other is, I realize we're 5 days into it, but I want to say Happy New Year. And I hope everyone has a healthy and prosperous year ahead. I think that's going to be, this is going to be a good year for us as long as we keep working at it. All right. Thank you.
Councilmember Morgan, any report tonight?
Nothing to report. Just happy to have a new year on hand.
With that, City Manager, what are your reports for us tonight?
Thank you, Mayor. I'm going to start first with training schedule. What I was going to ask Naomi to do was resend out the link to AWC training-related opportunities. I believe that the standard that we're hearing articulated now is ideally on an annual basis rather than at various 2 and 4 year intervals. Councils should avail themselves of the opportunity to obtain training. The AWC training that I've participated in, I think is excellent and would just recommend particularly for our new council members to avail yourself of those opportunities. So we'll send you out a fresh AWC link for all of council. And just please let us know how we can support you in getting it scheduled and accounted for through the budget. So that's in that. As far as the planning schedule goes, we're continuing to work with our department heads to fill in so that we can plan further in advance what we're working on. In a moment, I've asked Director Todd to update us on the lease agreement with Snow 911, but for the next council meeting, we're going to have a few matters on there that I just wanted to foreshadow. The public records ordinance, something that you've heard us talk about. The one we currently have is deficient in the sense that we never had, when it was originally adopted years ago, the public hearing that's required. Grant, Naomi, and other members of the steering committee team that include myself and Chief Young, and then we have a additional member and our finance director, Laurel Gimzo, are working very hard to make sure we can meet that deadline for January 12th. Also on the agenda is we've been talking in fits and starts with the Silver Lake Water District about purchasing the property for our public workshop. For reasons that we'll update you at the next council meeting, we're going to be asking for council's consideration of a right of first refusal so that Silver Lake can assess what their needs are, hopefully in the post-COVID-19 epidemic era. We're also looking at potentially shared service, shared facility, a lot of innovative things that when Director Todd and myself start talking about, we think there's a real opportunity with the economic fallout in our economy to really reach out to our regional partners and start doing some things that are innovative. We think the time for innovation is long overdue, and we're looking at ways to possibly even potentially share the facility. But what we really want is a final right of first refusal. If they do sell it, we'd like to go back to addressing that with our city council. And then there's also an MOU agreement that's going to be coming up. The other matter that, a couple of matters I want to address, particularly at the beginning of the year, then Director Todd had mentioned how some council members may benefit from a second screen, particularly in the Zoom format, where you can look at matters that are on the screen, looking at our agenda, possibly materials, while also participating in the Zoom format on the other screen. And we just wanted to ask you, we don't have to take a survey now, but we wanted to invite all of you that if a second screen is something you would be interested in, that we'd like to be able to afford you that opportunity. I think we've addressed most of the sound quality issues from our council members, but if there are any other equipment needs that the members of council need, that's what we're here for, is to support you in making sure that we make these meetings as productive as possible, and that if you need additional equipment, that it's available. Just give either myself or Naomi a call, and we'll try and move that along for you quickly. The final thing, is I really want to commend our new finance director, Laurel Gimzo. She is really challenging us constructively with this notion of just how much paper we're throwing around the system here, particularly with regard to the vouchers, the need for city council to come in to even look at the hard paper. We will continue to make that available to you in that format, but Laurel Gimzo and Naomi have worked so that electronic signature options are available for you, as well as the opportunity to review these matters online. So as the schedule comes up for members of council to be on that audit committee, we're gonna be especially working with you, not pressuring you, but encouraging you to participate in that remote format so that not only can we be in better practice right now with that contagious virus that's still flying around in the air, but even beyond that, to make this more convenient for all of you. So that's it for my part of the report. In introducing the section that Mike Todd is going to talk about, I really do want to tell you that the appointment of Director Todd with his background in both mechanical and electrical engineering, it's just it really been fruitful for the administrative team. And it comes to bear now in the agreement I was about ready to sign that I informed council of, related to a proposed antenna that Snow 911 was going to install in an effort to improve reception in this area, which is a low-lying area, but also to address a long outstanding issue with our police radios and the coverage within the police department. In working with Director Todd and our tenants in Huntron, the proposal we had was going to potentially create a problem with radio interference. So without further ado, Mike Todd is going to bring us up to speed as to a meeting he had today with Mr. Mills and Brad Steiner, who came on site to inspect what was a concern that Director Todd had. Mike?
Yeah, thank you. Yes, so indeed we met with Director Steiner, who was kind of the lead of this project, and Howard Tucker is their technical services manager. So he's the guy that kind of understands what it takes to put a radio receiver and transmitter in a building. Remember, typically these facilities are going into a tower with a building where lots of other radio providers are. In this case, they're proposing to put a room for radio equipment in City Hall North and put an antenna on the roof. And the concern was, in their lease, there's very strict requirements in terms of what other people can do in that environment, because they're trying to make sure that TV broadcasting guys right next to them are not blasting through the radio that's required for police and emergency services. So when you read their lease, it is a scary thing. And that was what got the CERN going. We had a good meeting today with them and with Huntron, and everybody is at a gentleman's agreement. We're in a good place, but I'm glad we're able to meet with them today. Basically, root cause was when they came and looked at the space in our City Hall North, it was dark and they thought this was a warehouse. When they walked into, they said, oh, Huntron, how long have you guys been here? And the answer is, when the building was built in 1984, Huntron was here. They thought this was just an empty warehouse that had a bunch of our rec equipment and public works equipment and the piles of toilet paper and cleaner. And they didn't realize, because the lights weren't on, that this was an electronics facility. We want to respect Huntron's needs for making highly precise electronic test and measurement equipment and the potential for interference between the two. We did the dance where we had to get to the same level of understanding and able to communicate, but I think we got that figured out. They're going to go back and work on restating their needs so that Huntron is sure they're not going to violate the terms of the lease we're going to sign. And similarly, they want to make sure that the radio antenna on the roof is not going to curtail their business, which is important to them. So we're working on that. The other thing that wasn't known was they came in here and looked at it, said there's no problem with just moving that wall over, take that fence out, we'll plunk a room down right here. Well, that's where Huntron has operations. And so after we discussed it today, they're going to reorient that room, rotate it 90 degrees, and make it fit within the city's space, not within the Huntron space. We also asked the question about, well, when you're building this room, how about all the dust and noise? Is that going to disturb your highly precise manufacturing operations? They said, oh, we didn't think about that. So they will look at having a prefab building they'll bring in through the garage doors. And so that may actually make it quicker for them. Maybe it's going to be better for everybody. So we solved those three problems today. Overall schedule is that the 911 board, as Councilmember Cavallari knows, meets on the third week of each month. We decided that this month is way too fast to go because there's quite a bit of work to be done by their consultant who's drawing up the drawings. But we're shooting for, we agreed we can make the third week in February board meeting for 911. And so I will be coming to you probably the first or second week in February to show you a lease, show you a diagram of what they're talking about. We'll have all the technical details worked out by then. They, once it's approved by us and approved by them, they will probably very quickly pull permits, and they would like to get this building put in place as soon as they can. They will likely put various radio equipment in is also very quickly. When they actually turn the system on is going to be out in the future. This is part of the whole P25, going from the old analog Motorola radios to the new frequencies that I think Councilmember Cavallari is going to talk about to us in a future meeting. But this is a big deal that's going on countywide. It's a huge project. They're talking about investing on the order of $1 million or $2 million in our area to get to this dead spot in the valley, not just for our police station, but also for the sheriff, the fire department. It turns out we don't think of ourselves in the valley, but all of their radio signals are going over the top of the Bothell Everett Highway area. So this is going to help their entire system. Hopefully it will help our system as well. That's it for what I've got now.
Thank you. And what I might add on to that is that there are a number of radio signal problems within the community. And we're hoping that with this upgrade and the others that Snow 911 is contemplating, it's going to address the problem of radio receptivity at our schools. which is reported a problem at both the high school and the middle school, as well as, like I mentioned, radio receptivity within our own police station. So we're looking forward to seeing if this will address our concerns. And if not, we are going to be continuing to focus on this technical issue to see what other fixes we might be able to fashion. Because in addition to the schools, a lot of our high density tenements also reportedly have a lot of radio frequency issues where our police radios are not operable once the officers are in the building. And the time has come for us to address this for the safety of our community and especially our police officers. So thank you, Mike. I appreciate your input on that. So that that concludes my portion of this. I know that we were going to talk about staff, the audit committee schedule, in the Arts and Beautification Board minutes and Park Board minutes. So for the audit committee schedule, Naomi, I believe you've got the schedule available that we were going to.
Yes, so it's in your packets. And for January, the audit committee is Council Member Steckler and Council Member Cavallari.
So mark your calendars, folks. And then with the minutes of the Park Board Arts and Beautification Board at future meetings, our liaisons, our representatives to those committees can give us a verbal report to go along with the minutes. Anything else from city manager or staff?
No, Mayor, thank you.
Okay, with that, we will go back to the audience communication, give the public a chance to comment. Anyone like to talk to the council tonight? I see Barbara shaking her head. I'm not sure if I see Will. Will, nothing? Anyone else want to speak to the council tonight? Okay, hearing none, we are now going to go into executive session to discuss potential litigation pursuant to RCW 42.30.110, subsection 1i. Action will not be taken after the executive session. Michael and Grant, how long do you figure we need?
Let's plan for up to 20 minutes, Mayor.
So we will be in executive session for up to 7:52. Are you going to bounce us into another room, Naomi? So we don't need to click on another link. You'll shoot.
Yes, I'm going to open up the room right now. You just need to accept it. Okay.
Thank you. So the others, you'll see me back at 7:52.
Thank you.
With no objection, the council has extended executive session until 8 o'clock.
extend to 8:10.
With no objection, council extended executive session until 8:10 p.m. We're back.
And it is 8:12. The council has concluded its executive session. No action is now being taken. And with that, we will adjourn our meeting for the evening, and we'll see everyone a week from tonight.
Take care, everyone. Bye. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.